We are back on the air. Hello and welcome. I'm clinically trained success and happiness psychologist Alex Serbanowski, founder of FulfillingHappiness.com. And once again, thank you for joining me today on the Fulfilling Happiness Edge. In case this is your first time listening to the show, the primary focus of the Fulfilling Happiness Edge is to give you that extra advantage, that secret psychological edge that allows you to live your best professional and personal life and inspire others to do the same. The secondary focus is fun. Now, I do take my coaching and training very seriously, and I will be giving you cutting-edge personal development techniques in this show and in every show. But we will also be sharing a few fun, silly, out-of-the-box experiences along the way. First of all, let me tell you about today's special guest interview. It will be with Steve Chandler, who is the best-selling author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself and 30 other books that have been translated into over 25 languages. His personal success coaching, public speaking, and business consulting have been used by CEOs, top professionals, major universities, and over 30 Fortune 500 companies. In my interview with Steve, you're going to discover the mindset shift required to be a time management warrior, overcoming classical traditional business errors and creating immediate results through non-linear thinking, what to say no to if you really want to be successful, how to get clients immediately, and discover what it really takes to be a super successful coach and why so many fail. After that, I'm going to give you my contribution. I like to theme the content of each show around my featured guest. So today, I'm going to reveal my mental preparation for time efficiency exercise. This is a simple and powerful five-step process that will get you in the right frame of mind and emotional state before beginning any task. It only takes a couple of minutes or less, and it is a superb way to condition yourself to be at your best when beginning any challenging task. Also, at the end of today's show, I'm going to give you another incredible fantasy gift. I love to give these away. And set the self-development challenge of the week. Now, to get the show started, each week, my co-host and I usually examine a major news story or theme. So before we get to the interview, I want to briefly introduce today's story. I'm going to be talking about something really fascinating today. It does relate to the news, but it's more about the effect it has on us rather than a particular story. It's about the Werther effect. What's that, you ask? Well, let's just say it involves copycat suicides, airline crashes, homicides, and many unfortunate accidents. So welcome back to the Fulfilling Happiness Edge, stories of the macabre. Before we do that, though, I need to, of course, introduce someone very, very special. It's my co-pilot. I'm bringing him back to the mic, a man who time after time comes up with the goods, the maestro himself, music teacher, composer, true friend and collaborator, James Love from MajorKeysToMusic.com. Welcome, James.
Hello there, Alex. It's great to be back here with you on the Fulfilling Happiness Edge.
It is great to be back. It's been a while. What have we done? We've been sleeping, hibernating? What have we been doing?
Yeah, I haven't really been doing much, really.
Yeah, me neither. Nothing.
Just vegging out.
Vegging out. That's exactly right. Couch potatoes we are. So let's get into it today. We've got a very special new segment to begin with. So hit it, maestro.
They'll invade your mind and change your thoughts until they own you. Proper propaganda. Will you decide now to live the life you really want to? Proper propaganda.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Well, that's a bit of a groover, isn't it?
Oh, I'm enjoying that.
Completely original, of course.
Completely. Yes, we are talking about the need for positive propaganda. What does that mean? Well, let's look at the word propaganda. First of all, here's a definition. Propaganda is the planned use of any type of communication with the intention of influencing the thoughts, beliefs, emotions, or actions of a particular group or people for a specific purpose. Now, it's really important to realize that no one is immune from the mass influence that we are hit with every day. Unfortunately, because us humans, we're not as wise as we think we are, and many of us tend to think we are invulnerable to many things that actually affect us deeply. See, all of us are highly suggestible. All of us can be influenced in ways we would never believe, especially if the message is repeated often enough. As I said, we are highly social creatures. And all of us are frequently communicating with each other in many, many ways. We are sending each other messages, verbal, nonverbal, through technology, all the time. And these messages start to shape who we are, whether we like it or not. So there are basically three kinds of messages. We have a positive, pleasure-based message, a neutral, information-based message, or a negative, fear-based message. In case you somehow hadn't realized, we live in a world overflowing with negative fear-based messages. The media, advertising, politics all predominantly send fear-generating messages. And fear creates uncertainty. And uncertain people tend to give up their rights, power, and sense of control to people that appear more certain. Pleasure and positivity leads to more confidence. Positive people have a greater control over their lives and make more of their own choices. Now, I see myself as a positivity propagandist. I plan to consistently bombard you with positive messages in the expectation that you will find your true self and become your own positivity propagandist. We are always communicating. What we communicate consistently has a massive ripple effect attached to it. You may not believe me yet, but you will very soon. So let's talk about the Werther effect. It all started 2 centuries ago when the German literary giant of the time, Johann von Goethe, I actually don't know how to say that. It's really bad. I should find out. Published the novel Die Leiden des jungen Werthers. I have no idea if I said that right either. Translated as The Sorrows of Young Werther. In the highly popular book, the hero Werther commits suicide, and from it came a wave of copycat suicides across Europe. The book was even banned in several countries. Fast forward to modern day, and Professor Philip, whose research between 1947 and 1968 showed that following a front page suicide story, the suicide rate in the demographic area of where the story is based jumps up dramatically. Planes start falling out of the sky and fatal car crashes increase. Get this, people who die in commercial airline crashes after such a story increase by 1,000%. Let's go further. Homicides in the USA, when a highly publicized story about homicides is given, for instance, highly publicized heavyweight boxing matches between 1973 and 1978 were shown to increase homicides. Now, here is the most interesting part. The suicides and homicides were mostly committed by people who were quite similar to the person being publicized about. So in other words, the more similar in age, race, ethnicity, and so on, the copycat is, the more likely they were to follow the same path. Now, hold on, Alex, I hear you say, are you suggesting that if someone similar to me kills themselves, I'm going to do the same thing? Yes. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we are impressionable. And people who copycat a suicide, for instance, were obviously depressed. And when you heavily publicize an idea, even if you're saying it's the wrong idea, when you keep promoting that idea, it becomes more of an option. And so people who are fragile may see it as their best way out of their pain. But you don't have to be clinically depressed to be dangerous. Remember all those accidents. When you keep bombarding someone with negative messages, their mood drops and their abilities worsen. So the question becomes, how do you protect yourself from this? Now, I suggest you lock yourself in a bell tower and come out with 30 inches of high-grade bubble wrap. Now, if that is not a practical solution for you, there's 2 other things you could try. One is limit your exposure to negative events. Now, I did say limit, not ignore or exile. This is the real world and tragic events do happen. And I'm not suggesting that you run and hide from real events. You ought to know the basics of what's going on. You know, you really should understand the basics of exactly what's happening around you, and we can do that quite easily. What you shouldn't do is indulge in it. So, for example, it's important to know about what happened on September 11, 2001. What was not a good idea, which many, many people did, is spend every waking minute of the day watching the endless news coverage about the event for weeks and months on end after it happened. You need to accept that these things happen, and obviously it was a tragic event, but also we need to find an empowering meaning from these events and a suitable course of action. So it's not about living in a bubble. We are in the real world, and we do have real challenges. But at the same time, we're not going to indulge in the negativity. After tragic events, the next thing we need to think about, and negative news, it is smart to become more conscious of your actions, considerate of others, and careful about what you do, because an intelligent and positive leader of others is what you need to become in uncertain times. It's probably smart to avoid plane travel and peak hour traffic for the week after a highly publicized tragic event, if possible. So finally, the last question. What does all this have to do with my own personal success and happiness? We are constantly communicating. We are all propagandists in a sense. We all have certain things we believe in and attempt to influence other people in certain ways. But we can lose our strength and our focus. We can feel beat up and manipulated. And because we are consistently bombarded by negativity in the news, in advertising, even by our governments. And I'm not saying you should ignore all the negative events. What I'm saying is you should never indulge in them. And today it really is worse than ever. Media, advertising, governments, politicians have raised the stakes. Sensationalist stories are everywhere, filled with fear and doubt. And their aim is to scare you stiff into inaction. So you keep watching and listening and doing what they say. So that's what I'm thinking so far. James, what do you think about this?
This is really amazing stuff. And it seems subtle in a way, but I think the listeners as well could think of so many examples of where they have been impressionable in so many different ways. I mean, I consider myself sort of to have quite a strong grip on reality and, you know, quite strong belief systems.
I'm glad to hear that, James.
Thank you. But even at the same time, there's so many times where I have noticed how I've been impressionable, and just with little things sometimes, you know, hanging out with a person and start to match their body language a bit, or certain things that they say, or the way that, even the way they laugh sometimes, it can, it's interesting how, you know, that the way you laugh can change depending on the people you're around.
Sure.
So I think that it's really important to be aware of that. And I mean, awareness is always the first thing, I think. And then after you notice how that can sort of happen to you, then it's your duty, I think, in a way, to really be conscious of the way you are around other people and the things that you say and what you bring to social situations. And that can include even, you know, the communications on the internet.
Sure. I absolutely agree. I mean, we are impressionable. And the question is, what kind of impression do we want to make on others? And is it a positive impression or is it a negative impression? That's what positive propaganda is about. It's about instilling a sense of positivity because there is a ripple effect. And I want to talk a little bit about this because in modern day society, I've been really disappointed in politicians globally, in all countries, in Australia, in America, in the UK, and in many other countries. You know, I am wondering, where are the inspiring politicians and leaders? The ones who would not back down, you know, who did everything they could to inspire. They were willing to die for their convictions. You know, they lived in the 60s, 40, 50 years ago, well before I was even born. And I want the listeners to think, you are a propagandist, whether you like it or not. And I suggest you become a positive one. That each and every day you continue asking, how can I add a little more value into this world? You are a role model, and you directly or indirectly influence tens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people on a regular basis. Everyone's watching, and everyone is responsible. You are responsible. So many times I've heard people say, you have no right to judge me on this area of my life because I'm doing the right thing in this other area. So for example, hey, as long as I'm doing a good job as the president, you shouldn't judge my affair with an impressionable intern as a problem. Wrong. Because your job, even the highest job in the land, is not what you're really judged on, especially at the subconscious level. You are judged on your character, on who you are as a person, much more than who you are as a professional. Celebrities often say, you have no right to judge me on my personal life. I'm not asking you to examine what I do there. I agree with you consciously, but tell that to my unconscious or my subconscious. See, if you're in the public eye, and in a way we all kind of are, then all your actions have the potential of influencing others. People with positive and empowering beliefs and a fulfilling purpose in life will be mostly immune to such negativity. But what about most people who haven't developed themselves? That's why the more developed you become as a person, the more you positively influence, grow, and enrich others as well. So, to finish, let me give you a potentially empowering solution to a front page suicide story. And I'm more than happy to have others write in with their own. We unconsciously respond to others most, who are like us. So let's say we have a 20-year-old Caucasian male celebrity commit suicide. What could be done to counter the negative effect? I suggest, as part of the news story, the reporter finds and interviews at least three happy, successful, and positive celebrities of similar age, background, and features them. And they get interviewed in depth about their positive beliefs, about success and life, and how other people of similar age can apply such ideas to themselves. You don't ignore what happened, rather you find similar people who have better answers to life's challenges, and you highlight and showcase them much more than the negative and disempowering events related to the story. And you keep finding positive role models for as long as the story remains popular. Now, unfortunately, my radically positive approach may not sell as many newspapers, even though I'm highly confident that it would save you and improve the quality of life of many, many people. And save lives in general, actually. And wouldn't it be fantastic if you were one of those positive role models, being interviewed, sharing your life-enhancing wisdom? Well, you don't need to be in the press to do that. You can do that right now. So, speaking of positive role models, let's get to our interview. And following the mass communication theme, Steve Chandler is a master communicator who has actually trained in how to manipulate others in combat settings. Thankfully, he chose to use that knowledge and his own insights to transform what he learned in a way that actually empowers others. After that, I'm also going to reveal my own mental preparation for time efficiency exercise. Leading into the interview for the rest of today's show, I also want you to keep in mind this priming question. What can I change within myself right now to make a positive impact on the task I'm about to do or person I'm about to interact with? I'll say it again. What can I change within myself right now to make a positive impact on the task I am about to do or person I am about to interact with? Now, if you're unsure about how to answer this, several elements of this exercise will come clear to you as we go through the interview and through the rest of the show. And you can pause this show now if you're listening to a recording and ask yourself that question and write some answers down. And then you can write some again at the end of today's show because we will revisit that question again. So here it is. Here's the interview with Steve. Hello and welcome. I'm Alex Silvanosky, founder of FulfillingHappiness.com. And today my guest is Steve Chandler, who is the best-selling author of 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself and 30 other books that have been translated into over 25 languages. Known as America's notoriously unorthodox personal growth guru, his personal success coaching, public speaking, and business consulting have been used by CEOs, top professionals, major universities, and over 30 Fortune 500 companies. He has twice won the National Audio of the Year Award and King Features Syndicate. A popular guest on TV and radio talk shows, Steve Chandler has recently been called the most powerful public speaker in America today. Steve is also a master coach and has helped train hundreds of coaches to transform many lives and businesses. Time now to meet him. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. So let's get straight into it. I'd like to ask you, what was the thought process behind the best life-changing decision you have ever made?
Well, it really occurred for me many years ago when I was in the military, and I was in a unit called psychological warfare. I had no idea what psychological warfare was, what they did. I went through some testing when I was in the military, when we did some job testing to find out what our aptitudes were and what division we would be placed into. And when I got the card back after my testing, there was a word on it that said psycho. And I thought, oh my God, you know, they found me out. I don't know where they're going to put me now. And what that really was short for was psychological warfare. And I went into that. And when I was in psychological warfare, they did a very extensive teaching on how communication can alter belief systems and how a person's belief systems are very fluid. They're not really very firmly tethered down. They're very fluid, and belief systems can be altered quite rapidly through the right kind of communication. And this is really what psychological warfare is all about. And when I found that out, when I really saw how that worked, I began to see the application of this not in a wartime situation, and not in a military situation, but really in life with individuals. Individuals who had belief systems that were based on low self-esteem or a sense of powerlessness or helplessness or incompetence or I'm not as good as my brother, I'm not as good as other people, that these beliefs could actually be deleted and replaced, and that we could take a creative role in that ourselves. And when I got out of the military and got out into life and I corrected a few problems I had, life problems that were really debilitating, and I began to write books and give talks about it. So that's really where it all began. That's the number one thought process that I went through that changed how I interacted with the world. Prior to that time, I was really a major victim. I was really discouraged. My whole personality was based on skepticism and negative thinking, and so my life turned around 100%, and I saw that if I could do it with myself, I was just about the worst case I'd ever seen of somebody not really being very creative or being very upbeat. If I could do it with myself, I then knew that I could do it with anybody I worked with, and that's turned out to be true.
Okay, fantastic. So was it difficult for you to take what you learned in the military and apply it in this different context?
No, it wasn't, because I just began experimenting. I began working with people and sitting down with them and listening to them and applying different experiments with them and talking to them. And I was coaching them before I even knew what coaching was. And then I began to do some training sessions. And I'd work with salespeople and leaders and people who needed to get results in order to get paid. So there was always a kind of test for my work that people would pay me for it only if it worked. And that was good for me when I started, because a lot of people get into the field of self-help and they do all these crazy things and you never know if it works. Mm. You might feel better for a week, but you don't really have any idea that it's really changed your life. And I always had that standard held to me at the beginning of my work that it really had to change things or I would not be rehired. And so that was really good for me.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, which is it has to work. Otherwise, you're not really doing a great service on yourself or the person you're working for.
Absolutely right. It's absolutely correct. And that's one of the good things about the field that we're in, people who do transformational work and coaching, that people who are not effective really at it, they don't get rehired. They don't get referred. They can get into the work, but then after a while, it kind of dries up and goes away for them. So the universe has a sort of sorting out process for people who do this work, and the people whose work really connects, really makes a difference, they tend to thrive.
Mm. So what are the common things that you mostly see, and how do you help people through that?
Well, the biggest thing I see now is the problem that people have with time. And people are using a really outmoded, totally traditional but inappropriate time management mindset and belief system. So they use all kinds of old-fashioned linear time management systems and thought processes. So my work with people today is to change that so they can use a totally non-linear time management system. And when they can do that, it deals with all the information challenges we have, because everybody now has more information at their fingertips than anybody ever had, and it's flowing in constantly, and people are communicating with us all day long, and that's the biggest challenge we have, but it's also the biggest opportunity we have.
Okay, fantastic. So that sounds really fascinating. Could you give me like a brief kind of synopsis or example of how your time management ideas not just differ from the norm, but how to apply them in a very quick way?
Yeah, the way it gets applied in a quick way is, for example, I will work with someone who sits down and tries to plan out a new business or a new coaching career, And this person will start to place all sorts of linear segments in place in the old-fashioned way of thinking. So they will say, I need a website, I need business cards, I need a brochure, I need a bio, I need a resume, I need certification from a coaching school. And they will actually place all these linear projects between them and success.
Uh-huh.
So if I take a nonlinear approach in and I say to the person, imagine that you've done all these 23 things that you think you need to do. What's the final result you're after? And the person would say, my final result is to have a client. And I say, great. So let's just call a prospect and turn him into a client. And so what I will do is have my coaching client call someone up on the speakerphone. We will talk to that person for 30 minutes, and now he has a client. And I have demonstrated to him that what he thought would take 23 segmented linear steps to get from A all the way down to Z, he can go, instead of moving horizontally across the plane, he can rise up vertically and get it done right now. And there are about 50 examples of that every day that we face, where we're using the old-fashioned linear thought process when we could connect with someone immediately and have the result right now that we're looking for.
I think you said something very important there. You said connect with someone immediately. Is that the secret?
That's the secret. That's really behind everything. That's the secret. And I've written a brand new book about it called Time Warrior. And I put the word warrior in there because it takes a kind of violence. You have to be willing to say no to all the people who are trying to get your attention and time. And you have to be willing to carve out devoted, quiet solitude with full focus on whatever you're focused on so you can achieve things. Otherwise, we're just totally distracted all day long, and people think they're being compassionate and loving because they're available to everyone in their life. But the real problem is they're getting interrupted every few minutes, and they can't hold focus on any one thing long enough to do a great job.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I think that's kind of what's happened with modern technology. Everything is so easily infiltrating into your world that you have to kind of set aside specific things and get very focused. I think that's what you're saying.
Exactly right. That's precisely it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. So where can people find out more about you?
Well, they can go to stevechandler.com, and that'll have my blog and all my latest items that are there and a lot of free material that people can get. So it's very easy.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
What a great interview. So first of all, James, what do you think you'll take away from Steve's advice?
That was a great interview, Alex. So many things to take away there. How this knowledge of influence and positive propaganda, how you can really make a difference for other people. Also, the ideas about non-linear time management. I think that's a big one for me, actually. I think... It's about diving in rather than, because we taught in a very linear way and it can be hard to shake that sometimes.
Sure.
And then also what he was saying at the end then about eliminating all distractions when you really want to get down and focused for a task.
I agree, James. And I think the main thing to take away, in my opinion, is you need to be not just thinking but acting on what is the most direct route to success. And the answer for me is to get in the right emotional state and in front of the right people. Nothing is more impressive than you forming a genuine connection with a potential client. So once again, the website is stevechandler.com. You can head over there if you want more information. So today's show has been focusing on empowerment and effective action and communication that spreads through you and has a ripple effect connected to it. And these ideas very much relate to power and performance and even persuasion in the Fulfilling Happiness Positivity Pillars model. So if you want to see the model more, you can head over to fulfillinghappiness.com/coaching. And it's about halfway down the page. You can kind of see the model in action. In fact, to get a really good idea of it, you can actually download some posters that have been created. So fulfillinghappiness.com/posters. There's actually some great posters of the different pillars, motivational posters, and a technique connected to each poster. So really, if you want to have some fun there, check it out. Now, time to reveal the mental preparation for time efficiency exercise. So Steve gave away some great ideas about how to approach time management. What I thought I would do in order to assist is give you my simple and powerful 5-step process that will get you in the right frame of mind and emotional state before beginning any task. Now, it only takes a couple of minutes or less, and it is a superb way to condition yourself to be at your best when beginning any challenging task. Now, at any point during this process, I want you to feel free to pause the show if you're listening later, which I suggest you do, and actually practice the process. I'm not going to have time to really go through the process with you completely because we don't want to have a lot of gaps in a radio show. So that's why you want to listen to it again and pause it. I'm just going to go through the process with you now. Number one, physical environment preparation. Clear the area. Now, physical movement is the fastest way to build momentum. So we start moving around, and what we do is we actually remove all non-essential materials and get them as far away from you as possible. Put them in another room or somewhere where you cannot see them in the room. If you remember, Steve was talking about distraction. We want to remove all distractions. Now, you can put them in their proper place only if it will not take any extra time, because this is not the time for organizing. That's a different time. And what I want you also to do is close down and remove any non-essential programs and distractions, and arrange all essential items in the preferred position, as I've just said. Number two is clear the mind. Sit or stand straight with your shoulders back and head up. And you can either close your eyes or have them open, looking slightly up, and take 3 deep breaths. With each breath, you're going to be focusing on clearing your mind by allowing all your attention to be on your breath only. And this is going to ground you into the present moment. Number three is you're going to praise and prepare yourself. So continue sitting straight, breathing deeply. You're going to state a positive identity or task-based statement. So for example, you are a great, smart, skilled, talented, etc. person about to do an outstanding or wonderful, professional, beautiful job for the next 30 to 60 minutes on X, the task. So let me just give you an example. You are a talented person about to do an outstanding job for the next 35 minutes on writing this report. And you want to say it out loud and write it down in big letters and place it where you can see it quite easily, somewhere in front of you, in your field of vision when you look up away from the task you're doing. 4, clearly envision the outcome. Imagine with as much precision as possible what you would like to have completed and created within that time frame you've just set, so 30 to 60 minutes from now. To increase chances of success, rate the goal on a completion confidence scale between 1 and 10, where 1 would be very little confidence and 10 would be extreme confidence. You should be at least at a 7 in confidence. If less than this, you want to reduce aspects of the goal so that you're at a level 7 or higher. Once again, write down the goal next to your positive statement with your confidence score. So you have your positive statement and you have your confidence score as well. Finally, 5, priming the mind and emotions. So continuing to sit straight, breathe deeply, close your eyes again if you wish, and create a mental mini movie of you completing the task. See, hear, and feel yourself moving forward through each aspect of the task until it is completed, where you feel a sense of accomplishment, pride, strength, or whatever emotions are right for you. Then imagine taking that emotion with you and keeping it as you reverse yourself back through the completed steps right back until now. Then do the exact same thing 2 more times. Move forwards in your mind until task completion, then back with all that strength and pride back towards now. Each time you do this, amplify the internal perceptions and strengthen the positive emotions. When you have returned to the present moment for the final time, take another deep breath, open your eyes if they need to be opened, and you are ready to begin, and begin immediately. Now, this sounds like a lot, but it actually, this whole process would take maybe 2 minutes tops if you're writing it. Even less, maybe 1 minute if you just do it in your mind, though I think it's better if you actually write it down. It creates more commitment. I'll actually write out these steps as well somewhere on the website as well, under the article section, so you will have that for you. Great. Now, we are coming towards the end of today's show, so it's time to have a little bit of fun. And the first of the few fun segments we're going to do before we finish off is fantasy gifts. Now, as you may know, I like to give away a lot of fantastic self-development gifts for supporters of this show. Now, I want to play with the big boys and girls. I have big dreams. I want to give away stuff the way Oprah Winfrey would and Ellen DeGeneres and Dr. Phil and the way they give away stuff. Except, of course, I have a little problem, and that is I don't have a budget or any corporate sponsors. So rather than being limited by the constraints of the real world and admit to the fact that I'm not an all-powerful media mogul, I will use my imagination, I suggest you do the same at times, and give you a fantasy gift far superior to anything Oprah, Ellen, Dr. Phil, or anyone else could ever dream of. So here is today's fantasy gift. Time. Time is a runaway freight train. It just keeps going and going and going, and whatever you like it or not, whether you like it or not, you're on this ride. But where are you on the train? Are you a passenger or a driver? The train cannot be stopped. It can only be steered. If only you could find the motivation to get into the driver's compartment. Well, now you can. Pulverize procrastination, build momentum, and magnify your motivation all at the exact same time with the new Swiss Start Watch. Combining precision Swiss engineering, that's a really tough one. Combining precision Swiss engineering with timeless Texan electrocurrent technology, the Swiss Startwatch will jolt you into action. As soon as you press the button, a dual electrocurrent fires off and will not stop until the task you have set out to be done gets done. The first current flows straight into the motivational centers of your brain, making you immediately focused and ready, whilst the second current seamlessly flows straight into your buttocks, forcing an instant leap into action. In order to maintain momentum, the self-regulating current naturally adjusts in intensity to keep you active, vibrant, and on track. Finally, get the one motivational tool guaranteed to work every single time. As an additional bonus, you'll also receive a self-charging lifetime battery, which means you can just set it and forget it, because once you start it up, it will never stop, and neither will you. And every fan of this show will be going home with their very own Swiss Startwatch. Just look under your chair. It's right there. Congratulations. The Swiss Startwatch, a motivational miracle. Now that you have your fantasy gift, let's get into this week's real self-development experiment. Time now for the challenge of the week.
Challenge of the week.
This week's challenge is, before you work on the hardest task of the day, go through the mental preparation for time efficiency process. It will get you in the right state to really be at your best. So now we're wrapping up, of course. And if you want to find out more about the fulfilling happiness world, I guess you would say, you can check me out on Facebook and Twitter. Hit it, Maestro.
You gotta like how to psych
Oh, James, come on. That is brilliant.
It brings the house down every time. And in fact, you could just see you rocking out a bit over there. It's good to see. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Oh, you have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy it. You have to let people know how to follow you on Twitter.
Indeed.
And you also have to tell them to like you on Facebook. I'd prefer if people just like me in real life, in all honesty. But I guess Facebook will have to do for now.
Yeah, one step at a time.
Yeah, I've got to work on my social skills. All right, now, if you want to send me some feedback for the show, requests, ideas, all sorts of good stuff, You can do so anytime. You can email us at fulfillinghappiness.com/contact. You can post a message on the facebook.com/fulfillinghappiness wall as well. So there's some options for you. And of course, even though we don't really have anything to promote specifically, I just love to play this song because it is my favorite. Maestro.
By my skull, by my skull, by my skull, right now.
So yes, I would like you very much to buy my stuff. What stuff do I actually have? Well, there's lots of stuff on the website. There's books on Amazon. There's all sorts of links there. You can go in there. I'm not really big on promoting myself too heavily. James, of course, if you want to find out more about James as a composer, musician, and just find out what he's up to, the website again, James?
That's majorkeystomusic.com. And you also find out about my teaching and different ideas there as well, which links in with what we're talking about here in more of a musical arena.
Perfect, perfect. So if you've got a musical bone in your body, I don't.
now.
If you notice that there's two people singing in those songs, the one who can sing is not me. So let's finish up today. I want to thank my special guest. Let me introduce next week's special guest, or next show's special guest, which will be Eve Adamson, New York Times best-selling author and freelance writer who has written or co-authored over 50 books on self-development, psychology, stress management, Zen, cooking, holistic health, and more. To see all my special guests, listen to old shows, download shows, etc., you can head over to happinessedge.com. Before we go, we must once again look at the priming question. The question is, what can I change within myself right now to make a positive impact on the task I am about to do or person I am about to interact with? So if you have the opportunity now, pause the show. If you're listening back, write down your answers to that and, of course, act upon them. I want to thank my guest, Steve Chandler, Mr. James Love, and, of course, I'm Alex George Serbanowski. And what I'd like to say is go out there and live with true power, total passion, and transformational purpose.